You are listening to a sermon by Catherine Cooper, recorded on Sunday, July 31st, 2016, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So I first decided to speak on the lectionary text that we heard in the service today because I was so drawn to the passage from Deuteronomy that I couldn't leave it alone. I kept revisiting the words like I would worry at a loose tooth. Sometimes I'd forget, but the words kept coming back to me. Surely this commandment is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. No, it is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. But Deuteronomy has always been a book that intimidates me with the lists of laws and decrees and descriptions of God as a jealous God. So I did what any self-respecting, confused Christian would do. I asked for help. I'm trying to write a sermon on Deuteronomy. Where do I start? My dad's recommendation was to look up a passage in James Michener's novel, The Source, for just a little bit of inspiration. Have any of you ever read the novel? The scene that my dad referred to is a conversation between a Jewish archaeologist and a Catholic archaeologist who are working together in the Holy Land. The Catholic asks the Jew, "What should I read to better understand the mindset of the Jews?" The Jewish archaeologist's reply is, "Read Deuteronomy five times." To be honest, I did not read the book of Deuteronomy five times in preparation for this morning, but I did make it all the way through once in order to better understand the context of the passage that we heard this morning. What became apparent to me is that the book of Deuteronomy has a refrain, and it is this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Versions of these phrases are used time and again by Moses as he addresses the Israelites and explains to them the laws that they are expected to follow. "Love the Lord your God, therefore, and keep his charge, his decrees, his ordinances, and his commandments always," Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Moses then goes through, in excruciating detail, all of the laws, decrees, and ordinances that the Israelites are expected to follow in order to gain entrance to and to keep the promised land. But interspersed with all of the warnings and rules, Moses repeats the refrain, "Love the Lord your God." This is the context within which today's reading is grounded. This is the commandment that Moses refers to in Deuteronomy chapter 30. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." It is this commandment that we are expected to follow as part of a covenantal agreement with God. These are the words that are near to us, that are in our mouths and hearts. This passage from Deuteronomy is incredibly rich and deep, despite its apparent simplicity. To break the passage down further, I kept asking myself, what form do these words take for us today? And from whose lips do we expect to hear them? How do these words sound when we speak them to each other? When I thought of the passage in this sense, it became clear to me that there are three things that this passage calls us to do: to listen, to learn, and to practice. As Vicar Timothy Ward notes in his book, Words of Life, it is very common to hear the words of God spoken through the mouth of another person, a human person. In fact, this happens so commonly throughout Scripture and is written in such a way that we accept that these words spoken through other people are truly God's words. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 17 and 18, Moses said, "Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet.'" The scriptures are very clear about these being God's words, and that we can expect to hear more of these words from the people that God chooses. But it is not only prophets such as Moses or Joshua who can share these words. In his book, The God Who Speaks, Ben Campbell Johnson writes that, and I quote, "People who become words of God to others do not belong to a special category of saints, seers, or mystics. Often they are very ordinary people who think of themselves as simple believers. Also, God can and does speak through people who do not claim to know God." This creates an interesting challenge for us, to listen for the words of God and to hear echoes of this commandment of love from each other. This challenge becomes yet more difficult when we realize that we must leave ourselves open to hearing these words, to witnessing them in whatever form they appear, even in situations and from people where the words would be unexpected. This requires an active listening, an awareness and attentiveness to the world and people around us. And language is an incredibly complex thing. We interpret, we observe so much more than just what we hear. We also pay attention to the silences, to the pauses and unspoken contexts of people's speech. We read body language, facial expressions, and actions. We watch the world and interact with it. These myriad different ways that we can communicate, that we reach out to each other, mean that it is all the more important to take the time to listen, to observe, and to watch. As Roald Dahl wrote in his children's book, The Minpins, "And above all, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places. Those who do not believe in magic will never find it. Those who do not listen for the unexpected voice will never hear it." This idea of listening for the unexpected voice, of being aware and actively paying attention, is beautifully described by one of my favorite poets and songwriters, Carrie Newcomer. This poem is called A Permeable Life. "I want to leave enough room in my heart for the unexpected, for the mistake that becomes knowing, for knowing that becomes wonder, for wonder that makes everything porous, allowing in and out all available light. An impermeable life is full to the edges, but only to the edges. It is a limited thing, like the pause at the center of the breath, neither releasing or inviting, with no hollow spaces for longing and possibility. I would rather live unlocked, and more often than not, astonished, which is possible if I am willing to surrender what I already think I know. So I will stay open and companionably friendly with all that presses out from the heart and comes in at a slant and shimmers just below the surface of things." This poem also reminds me of what Esther Heise talked about in her sermon a few weeks back, that words take root in soft hearts, not hardened hearts. It can be very difficult to learn this vulnerability, to learn how to keep our ears open and our hearts. In order to have open ears and open hearts, it is important to be aware of our own blinders, our own preconceptions, biases, and prejudices. These weaknesses are merely part of who we are. We are shaped by how we were raised, by how we were educated, and can become entrenched in certain positions which we may stubbornly defend. Oddly enough, I stumbled on a snippet of dialogue while watching TV during a break from writing this talk, and it neatly illustrated this point, so I'm going to share it with you this morning. This conversation was between a scientist and his friend, and happened when the scientist was very frustrated that his data were being ignored by the company that they both worked for. The scientist asked his friend, "Why? Why is it so hard to communicate simple truth? Tell me." His friend's response was, "Because people don't listen." "And why is that?" "Because they believe what they want to. They don't hear what they don't want to or see what's in front of them. because people believe what they want to believe. It's human nature. The second challenge of this active listening, of keeping our ears and hearts open, is that we must practice discernment while doing so. We must practice discernment while remaining open enough to hear wisdom from people that otherwise we may have ignored. There is much to listen to in our world, many opinions, many hurtful and hateful things that people say to each other or about others. Sadly, these negative words are more frequently found and remembered. Think about the news stories that headlined this week. And then there are people, like one of the presidential candidates down in the States. Trump says many things that we would agree are ridiculous or cruel or blind. But sometimes misleading words are not going to be quite so obvious. This is another place where we all grow and learn through experience. And as I was told recently, we gain experience through making mistakes. Neither being aware of our own shortcomings or learning discernment are things that we can do alone. Left to ourselves, we can become stagnant. We may not listen to people we disagree with. We may find ourselves swayed by a persuasive argument that takes us away from what is right. This is one reason why being part of a community is so very important. We rely on each other to keep us honest and aware and to help us learn a discerning ear. It is also in community that we practice this commandment. Along with listening to and learning from others about loving God, this passage in Deuteronomy calls us to act. These words are near to us, are in our mouths and hearts, so that we may do them, so that we can practice loving God. As Jason Biasi said in his message on prayer a few weeks ago, God's blessings aren't for us, they are through us, to everybody else. As we listen to others, so are others listening to and learning from us. The story that we heard from the book of Luke this morning is a beautiful illustration of what it means to practice this commandment, to love the Lord our God and our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus' example in this parable is that to show love is to show mercy and compassion, to see the human in those that we meet, and to continue to believe in the inherent good and worthiness of people. These are not necessarily large acts, but can be small ones between individuals. Loving God with all our hearts, with all our souls, is not a passive thing. It is active. We need to listen actively, to be aware, to learn from each other, and grow together. It is important that as we grow, we continue to share what we have learned, to pay that love forward. In the words of Michael Hugh and David Temlevich, our measure of worth is not in power or gold. The greatest truth comes from the heart. It's how we take care of the weak and the old, and this is a place we can start. I would like to end here with another of Carrie Newcomer's poems. This one is called Why We Are Here. She stood looking out the doorway, poised to step out into whatever comes next. Although I knew that I could not go with her, I could keep her company while waiting, bear witness to the preparing, and maybe rub her tired shoulders, which I know is absolutely nothing and absolutely everything. Maybe that is why we are here, to rub shoulders and play cards, to be a place to launch and a place to land, to murmur on the phone late at night and to say, this I love and this I saw.